possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Tom Brady compare. I expected a lot of excitement. I didn't expect Tom Brady comparison.
That was the Matt and Parma on the hotline.
Late guy, man.
Hotline.
Yeah, use the coming in hotline. It's right next to the listen live button on your free Odyssey app.
Put it up on the poll. Is it hard not to see Tom Brady?
Don't put Mitch is going to do that.
He and should then, do it.
Yeah, whatever. I don't care.
Who cares?
I don't care. I do not care. About any negativity that flies in.
It's preseason for the Browns and Shador. It's preseason for Mitch and the poll. Let's go.
So does this change any of the competition with you? Where do you put them on your depth chart?
Well, I was kind of having fun with it, obviously, on Friday night where I said, oh boy, Dylan Gabriel has been Wally Pipped. There is a new third spot on the depth chart in town, and his name is Shador Sanders. So, you know, it's tough. I haven't seen Kenny Pickett. Now, I've seen him in the NFL, and obviously, I think we share in the same belief that the future of the Browns is not in Kenny Pickett.
No.
But I've had people throughout this whole process telling me, like, that you guys have anointed Joe Flacco as the number one. Like, it's going to be Kenny Pickett. Like, it is going to be Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett will be the starting quarterback.
And I'm allowed to disagree with the Browns on that.
Sure. I've disagreed. But, like, there's a difference between am I disagreeing with whether or not I think it could happen or am I disagreeing with the Browns' plan? Like, he was the guy they brought in that was, like, if you look at chronologically, it was Kenny Pickett they brought in before Joe Flacco, right?
Yeah.
So I can't really argue all that much with the Browns did actually use an asset to go get him, and the timing of it would kind of support that this whole thing was supposed to be Kenny Pickett's job. Me and you, once he went down with the hamstring, we're like, oh, it's over.
See?
It's over. It's going to be So what would they do in response to that? You know, if Kenny Pickett is sidelined for another week plus, which is what Joe Thomas said, then how is he, how are we even supposed to talk about him in terms of his spot on the depth chart?
I don't think that they're really, again, with him, what's the spot on the depth chart there? Like, if he's not available, then he's not available. Like, I can't, once he becomes available, then I guess we could talk about him. And once there's more experience to who's going to be playing and who's not going to be playing, then maybe we could discuss it. But as of right now, it's like, okay, out of sight, out of mind. I got two guys that I'm thinking about. I mean, again, Snoop Huntley's coming in just to finish off the game. Yeah. But I got two guys there that I'm already thinking about. Joe Flacco to start the year. Shedeur Sanders, whenever that starts to get wobbly. The wheels get wobbly on that. Now, it has been one game. And so maybe by tomorrow and Wednesday, I could calm down a little bit and catch more reasoning. But I don't know what the reasoning is when all I've heard is that Dillon Gabriel can't cut it as a quarterback in the NFL. From the people who are watching him, not just Daryl, but also Zach Jackson has brought that up. And then for Kenny Pickett, who, yeah, obviously I had some negative thoughts on coming in. And if he's not available, all right, well, Shedeur has shown me something. So no matter what anybody wants to say, then it's going to turn right back into the, well, okay, I guess I have to trust the guy that not a lot of people trust in picking the quarterback to lead this football team. Because if it's Joe, then Shedeur, I think people can get on board with that right now. But if it were Joe, then Kenny, then Shedeur, I think you're going to have to do some explaining. 216-474-0092. Nick and Maslin, you're first up on the Fan. Hello.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We're doing well, Nick. Go ahead.
You know what? Shedeur did look good. Not a big fan. He looked decent. I just think everybody needs to slow down a little bit because everybody raved about DTR the first preseason game he played, and everybody thought Roger Staubach had just put on a Cleveland Browns uniform. He looked good, but you know what? Let's just
but you
most of those guys he's playing against are going to be bagging groceries in a couple weeks.
How many people actually bag groceries now? It's usually like self-serve.
I bag my own.
Yeah, I haven't.
Well, you know what? You have a point.
Okay, I haven't seen a grocery bagger in quite a long time. So, Nick, let me ask you this. See, there's a let me make this point. Let me make a counterpoint here. There is a true difference between DTR and Shedeur Sanders. Nobody on earth thought DTR should have been a first-round pick. There were plenty of people in America who thought that Shedeur Sanders, people who get paid to scout guys, thought Shedeur Sanders should have been a first-round pick. That's a huge difference.
I'll give you that. All I'm saying is the kid looked good. I was impressed for not having very many reps with the first team. But all I'm saying is it was a competition he was against, and it's like,
but Nick, can I ask you
know,
something?
Well, that's easy.
Nick, I understand you're coming from a
skeptic.
You're being cautious. You're doing the thing. You're trying to be more responsible. But you started the call off by saying you didn't like him. What didn't you like about him?
Ooh.
No, I thought he was very overrated. I watch a ton of college football. Okay, I'm 65 years old. I haven't watched 6 years of college football. I love college football. I love when these guys come out. I love watching them. And I think it's like, okay, you're this guy that way. I was not impressed with Shedeur at Colorado. I'm sorry, really wasn't. The defense they played against, I mean, I understand he didn't have an offensive line, not much running game, but he never really impressed me. He looked solid, but a first-round draft pick, I just could never imagine that. But, you know, I just, like I said, love college football, love these guys coming up, love watching them. And it's just, you know what? I've been watching the Browns since, oh, my God. Well, like I said, I'm 65, so my expectations don't get too high because they've been pretty much watered down a lot of times. You know what I'm saying?
So, okay. Well, so, I mean, I'm not going to sit there and rip on Nick. Thank you for the call. I'm not going to rip on Nick. He obviously needs to win him over. Nick has claimed he watched a lot of college football. Nick's been a caller for a while. I don't have any reason to not believe Nick on how much college football that Nick watches. There is going to be a healthy amount of skepticism as time goes on. Can he repeat what he did? I think from some of the national folks out there, it's going to be interesting to hear what they have to say and how we change some of the things here on this Monday about what they thought of Shedeur beforehand and what they think of him now. And really what they also think of these other quarterbacks. Like with boots on the ground here, I just think, again, there was a lot of things that I liked about Shedeur coming out of college. There was the questions, obviously, about what actually happened, combine, offseason, what went to him going from the first round to the fifth round. But there were still people, obviously not Nick, but there were still a lot of people who break this down for a living, who go in at least in this last class. It was a thin class, but at least in this last class, he could be a day one pick, should be a day one pick. He falls to the fifth round. See, DTR, there's always more skepticism in your mind. There were definitely people who loved DTR. There were definitely film guys who loved DTR. They might run away from that now, but they loved DTR coming out of college. And so they were kind of doing their own champion's pose when he did what he did against the Jets. Nick is right. But nobody thought DTR was going to be a day one pick. People believe Shedeur Sanders could have, should have been a D1 or a day one pick. So if you have a guy like that, yeah, how can you not feel but get excited? You get this guy that drops into your lap, and it, you start to tell the same stories that we've been regaled with our entire lives. So I don't know if he's going to turn into Tom Brady or Johnny Unitas or Len Dawson for that matter, if we're going to go really into historical facts here. But damn it, how can I watch him on Friday and still be that skeptical? You got to be the hater of haters to think that this can't be, 100% can't be. It could still go down, but if you think that this can't be successful at all, I guess there's no talking to somebody.
Well, I want to know, because that caller started off the call saying
it was interesting.
He thought he was overrated, whatever. And there were people chirping during his pregame walk-in when that started getting the coverage that it did. And they did. They said he's got an entourage, really, for the first preseason game. I do want to talk to the people that...
It was his teammate.
But. Yeah, I do want to talk to the people that have had this kind of thought about Shedeur, that, you know, we remember we were getting the calls and we were talking about taking him in the first round and maybe number two overall. The Nepo baby stuff, the people that have come in with a pre-developed narrative on who he is and what he is, probably because they maybe never liked Deion, right? Maybe that there was a carryover there.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to know, like, man, this guy has shined in every interview. He has been all over the community. He never, while guys like Hugh Douglas said this is a hostage situation, when all the people said that Browns are sabotaging him and the deck is stacked against him. And by the way, the deck is stacked against every fifth round pick. You know, you're not supposed to really get that many opportunities as a fifth round pick. Like, is he winning? Is he slowly winning you over a little bit? Like, he hasn't complained once. He hasn't asked for anything. He hasn't demanded anything. He hasn't leaked out to the media, or his camp hasn't leaked out to the media how unhappy he is, buried on the depth chart. Fourth. He's fourth. Somebody that came in selling the most jerseys in the draft.
Good point.
Right? Like the guy that had a Nike commercial ready to roll, Nike ad ready to go the minute this game was over. If ever there was a guy who you could see start to shout that he doesn't like the way he's being treated, he hasn't done that. He hasn't done that at all.
He's on the team that everybody would believe it, too.
Oh, yes.
He's on the team that everybody would believe it.
Yes.
I mean, there's only a few teams out there that people would go like, okay. No, like, he's on a team that people would believe it. And he's had every opportunity to fuss and bitch, or at least, or leak it out there, fussing and bitching, and he hasn't done any of that. Even, like, he was talking to Aditi in the waning moments of that game on Friday.
Said he played subpar.
And he was critical of his own performance. He's been very, very, very careful. He knows how some people perceive him, and he's been very, very, very careful to not do anything to ruffle feathers.
How is that not winning people over?
That's
the one thing I'm confused. How does his approach and how he has
preconceived
at least
notions.
Okay, that's fine.
Preconceived notions.
I've had preconceived notions about guys, and yes, I'll be stubborn, but eventually, like, you can't deny, like, this kid is doing what's asked of him, and he's competing, and speak softly, carry a big stick. It was actually his teammate that was carrying the big stick as he walked into the stadium. But I what an awesome start. What an awesome start. Like, I'm not ready to call him Johnny Unitas either, but what an awesome start.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I want to make this very clear for anybody who just wants peace within the fan base. That was the worst news you could have got yesterday. Worst news you could have got. Because you'll recover from an oblique injury. I mean, some are very severe and you have to get surgeries and things. But if this is like a nagging, like, hey, you're out this week and, you know, we got to get ready and Joe's going to play against the Rams and who knows what Dylan Gabriel's going to do this set. Like, that's terrible news because now theory is going to matter so much more. Because my depth chart is Joe, Shador, Dylan, Kenny. Lima, is yours the same? I think it is, right?
Yeah.
Word for word?
Yeah.
And then the Browns is still, and I got no reason to think differently of it, now especially with the injury there, it's going to be Joe, Dylan, Kenny, Shador. I don't think anybody's getting cut. And now we're going to go into the season because next week is the dress rehearsal. They're going to go through the week like it's a normal game week. Get ready for that. Joe's going to play. That's the end of preseason. Then you're getting ready for the year. You don't have any reps left. And so when the season does probably go awry, I hope it doesn't. I hope Joe plays well. But when the season more than likely goes awry, then you think it's been bad before. It's going to be a knockdown drag out every single day. Every single day. On where Shador is, why doesn't he have the reps? If Dylan Gabriel is not good on Saturday, my God, I'm not looking forward to this. This is not going to be fun.
You did say something earlier in the show.
I'm not talking about the elephant in the room.
You're doing everything you can to avoid that. Maybe we'll get to it in a second here.
I'll get to it.
You did say earlier in the show that you think there could be some fans, some either Browns fans or Shador fans, that could be actively rooting against Dylan Gabriel on
Saturday. Well, I don't know if it's... Well, Browns fans might root against him because I don't think anybody should really root against him because it's a preseason for crying out loud and he's got enough going up against him for, you know, But
you know, the conversation changes again. It's another layer.
If he's terrible.
If he plays well.
If he's good, then there's, I mean, what.
What did I do today just to get Ken go? Ken knows why I do this. He does the same thing to me.
Because he's supposed to be football. He's supposed to be football smart.
What I
said. So usually when you talk about 99 times out of 100, I don't know what you sent me. I'm going to just say this right now because I'm going to try to take up the space so I don't have to talk about somebody else. 99 times out of 100, when you are saying that somebody is a gamer, quote unquote, you're saying that they don't know football.
Yeah.
And they don't practice hard, or they don't know what they're doing in practice. But damn it, when they go out there on game day, it all somehow clicks. And so now we're trying to say that, well, maybe Dylan's going to be a gamer. I'm sorry. He got drafted in the third round because he's a gamer.
No.
He got drafted in the third round, and he allegedly, there were trade requests for him within the NFL at the beginning of day three because he knows football so well. And he knows football so well. And if he goes out there and he sucks, then you got every piece of ammunition you ever had.
But I
if you're a Shador fan, my guy played well.
I did it for a reason. I sent you a video of probably his finest moment. His finest moment was at Oregon, night game, early in the season last year. And he was on one, okay, against the Buckeye defense. He was the
Tyvus
best.
Powell got in and took shots at Jim Knowles. Not really, but you know.
He was the best player in that game. That was a huge moment in college football last year.
Yeah.
Until, of course, Ohio State got their revenge when it really counted in the playoff. But there's evidence up and down there that this kid can make money throws with all the pressure.
I certainly hope so.
All right, so stop stalling.
You wanted me to answer, I answered.
You did, so stop stalling. What are we going to do about these videos coming out? Say goodbye, by the way, to any
the
talk.
The videos of Jalen Hurts answering questions about Shador Sanders asking about football?
Not the video.
The videos of Myles Garrett going one-on-one with Lane Johnson.
Did you see video of Jeff Okuda getting burnt in practice? Third overall pick.
Yeah, see, you're avoiding it now, too.
I'm avoiding it a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so there are videos that say, once and for all, goodbye to any chance Jimmy Haslam had of getting any kind of an insurance claim against Deshaun Watson. Folks, he is healthy and ready to go. He is healthy and ready to go. He is running up and down the field. He's throwing footballs. He is, dare I say, ahead of schedule. What do we do with that information?
What do you want to do with that information? What do you want to do with it, bud?
Is it comeback season? For Deshaun Watson?
Well, I don't know. We got quarterbacks, apparently, when they just go to the bathroom and come on out, then they can't practice or play for the rest of the day. So, I mean, what do you think? What do you think?
I mean, doesn't look to me like there's anything materially, physically holding him back.
No. Let's just call it.
What if he got his mind right?
Okay, hold on. It's just the question of, do you think he could play? And then what would you do if he did play? Do you think there's a chance he could play this year? Question the first.
I mean,
answer
all
it now.
Along it was no. All along I thought.
Yeah, until yesterday.
I thought, and then I saw a guy that looked ahead of schedule.
Because of the video of him running?
Yeah. No, we did the same thing, and
it was
silly.
Have him running on schedule.
If it was silly,
hold on.
He'd be in a wheelchair.
When did he allegedly tear the
re-tear at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was in January. Guys, it's month eight of the year. It's 8 months later. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be hobbled forever because of it. So why are you so surprised?
I was told a second tear is worse than a first.
I thought he'd be paralyzed.
Okay. So he's running on tape.
Wait, how did he re-tear that again?
Don't worry about it.
He slipped on a boat
doing
or something?
The Lombada.
No. No.
Reckless speculation.
You can't have one of my lawyers. I'll tell you that right now. That was you. Anyway, guys, you know what this is going to, you know what's going to happen. You guys know what's going to happen. Let's stop being stupid with each other. Let's stop dancing with each other. He's going to play this year. You know what's going to happen, guys.
What?
Come on. What do you mean, come on? What do you mean, come on? I got a guy holding his side. I got guys walking around with hamstring injuries. Quarterbacks with hamstring injuries. Kenny Pickett went on one long run on a Sunday, and all of a sudden he's got a hamstring injury.
Fate
is intervening. No, fate is intervening.
A top secret note, just an FYI, the Browns removing all traces of Deshaun Watson from the stadium. No banners, jerseys, anything related.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know what that is, but I'm going to tell you right now.
It's on my phone.
There is somebody up there in the clouds, and they're going to go, oh, no, you paid for those years. You're getting those years. That's what they're saying. Until we get to next summer, until June 1st of next year, this is what it is, guys. Don't get mad at me. Because I saw it yesterday on the internet, and I saw a bunch of people saying, I'm not going to watch. That's up to you guys. I'm going to watch. I'll be intrigued.
All right, his base was $46 million this year, but $25.9 against the cap.
How would you react if he plays this season? How would you react?
I would definitely be intrigued to see what version of Watson we'd be getting, because the version we've got looked like the worst quarterback in football.
Are you paying close attention, or are you going to do yard work?
Oh, by that time of the season, you are tanking, right?
Deshaun Watson or yard work?
If he's quarterbacking your team,
well,
you are in tank mode anyway.
You think Deshaun Watson blames himself for these last few years, or you think he blames the Browns? Do you think that he's in the Browns' future plans? Nope. Well, no better way to put the hurt on the Browns and playing like crazy and playing really, really well and taking you out of that first pick.
Can you imagine?
What a way to go to work.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
That's Andy Baskin yesterday. He joins us right now in the Smart Choice Windows and More Studios.
Do it, Baskin. Champions pose it.
Yeah,
you're
go
on
ahead,
camera.
Baskin.
I'm not champions.
Does he know how to do it? Ken, show him how to do the
you
champions
do this.
Pose.
You do this.
Yeah, I can't
on one
do
side
that.
Of the mic, and then you do that. You clasp your hands together. It's a gift.
Champions pose. Up your nose with the rubber hose. And a champions pose.
It's the Barry Horowitz this. You can do
gif.
This too.
It's a gif on the internet. You can find it on Twitter. You're right in champions
pose. Yeah, no,
pose.
I'm good with it, but you got to act like you've been there before, don't you?
No.
You don't have to do a champion's pose. No.
It's daily, it's hourly, it's by the minute.
This is the show of rubbing it in, and that's what we're going to do.
Look, I just want to make sure that just because you said it, I didn't actually say rip the C off his jersey.
I know, but we embellished it.
I know, that's why I had to walk in here.
How great
I didn't
would
say
it be to have that visual?
That's why I walked in here, because I didn't actually say someone should walk up to him and rip the C off his jersey. I know, but I like
people
it kind of
tweeting us.
Yeah, I'm telling you, like I was seeing stuff on social media. I was like, oh, well, who wants to listen to him? What is he serving applesauce at the old folks' home? Get these old farts off the air. No, no, no. You know what? Obviously, that's coming from people that have never played sports before.
Wait, Andy, people were tweeting us the meme, the image or whatever of Newman tearing off the crest from Kramer's jacket or whatever. Oh, it's so
no,
good.
It was Seinfeld.
Jerry.
It was Jerry when he took over as a postal carrier. Oh my God.
So good. But honestly, it sounded like Kevin rarely gets like angry in front of the media.
He's annoyed.
You know, even after losses, it's
wouldn't
a lot
you be
of, we got to coach it
Ken,
better.
You
we got to play it better.
You yeah. coach. You tell me.
Well, I tell you what, if one of my kids were driving a car, I'd go, what the hell are you doing driving a car?
Well, that's not good either.
You ain't allowed to be driving yet.
But let's just say you got a kid that walks up in the stands after making a play because the other parents were riding him and he decides to give him a one-gun salute. Now, is it okay?
I'd go, what do you say to him? What are you doing?
I did say last week.
What do you
week,
say to him? You
know? I'm ready but for the return of the throat slash. I am ready for it.
It is different, Stop. Though. It is. Baskin, I mean, he's a grown man. He's a taxpayer.
He's a taxpayer. What does that have to do with anything?
It's just, well, you know, I hope he pays his taxes. I have no idea.
Yeah,
I'm not Kenny IRS. Maybe we should make a call. I don't know. Anyway, what I'm pointing out is that what I got to point out is that, hey, man, like I am totally cynical about captains in the NFL. If it's Gilmore Academy and he's out there as a 17-year-old kid zooming around doing God knows what, it's like, dude, come on. There is a leadership thing. College, John Carroll, Ohio State, I'm with you. But, like, they took the C off of Nick Chubb. They gave it to Deshaun Watson. Like,
yeah, did you see who the captain was last week? Your sixth-string quarterback. Just to go out there and take the play.
So,
the thing is that if you look at it, and let's take it from the outside, what is a captain then? What is it?
I think it's another ploy to sell jerseys in the NFL.
Honestly, we talked about this on the podcast, Andy, and
you've been in locker rooms.
I think in the NFL, especially when every quarterback is automatically the captain and the highest paid player is automatically a captain, I think it's lost a lot of its cachet.
But the closest thing to leadership we've had, I'll tell you this. Nick Chubb led by example. Let me just say this.
Nick Chubb did lead by example. You want to talk about how to define a captain.
Fair.
Nick Chubb was it.
Exactly.
Score a touchdown, hand the ball back to the referee, and help your team kick the other team
One of my issues has been over the last 10 years, I've got way more leadership out of guys who didn't have the captain logo on their jersey than I did. Now, again, when you're making a guy on a one-year contract a captain,
Rodney
what's it
McLeod.
Say about your franchise? What's it say about your locker room?
Well, here's what I'm saying.
Your culture, I should say.
I mean, look, between the contract stuff over the summer and another speeding ticket, he's a great football player. That's what he is. That's all there is to
him.
It.
That's all I
that's
expect
it.
From him.
I
know. I know, man.
It's a horrible example to anybody who's younger in the locker room. That's all. And did you see the caption in the Cleveland.com today? Perfect. It's Shador driving by at 100 and Miles driving by at 100. It said, do what I do, but don't know what it would say. Whatever. We expect leaders in this town. You have to, if you're going to be a professional football player, you're going to be a professional baseball player, you're going to be NHL, you're going to be any of these things,
leaders,
you know your standards are different than anybody else. It's the same as a cop.
Hold on. Don't steamroll ahead. We do something on this show. You just talked about the leaders in town. It's time for Andy Baskin to power rank the leaders in town.
Oh,
go
great.
Ahead. Number one.
Come on.
Oh, man.
On the spot.
That's what we do.
I've always been more legends than leaders.
Are we talking about... Yeah. By the way, that could have been the dumbest thing ever.
Come on. Number one leader in town.
Oh, it's having a good season.
Man, I got nothing.
Nobody on the Cavs?
Andy
nobody
Bass.
On the Guardians?
We'll go Ramirez one.
Oh, I thought you were going to do everybody.
What are you talking about?
I was going to have you
political
say
guys,
that was going to be the end of it.
Chris Ronayne.
Chris Ronayne is not there right now,
wow.
man.
Wow.
He's not.
All right. Shots
Chris,
fired.
Get on board, man. make that. Oh, hey,
he listens to the show.
Make that. I like Chris. I played hockey against Chris.
But he's and not in the leadership group.
I like him, but Chris, I gotta send him. Listen, I gotta send Chris a map and remind him that Brook Park's in Cuyahoga County. I mean, come on. Even D. Haslam took a shot at him.
Probably know what you're talking about.
That's right. I love Chris. Got to tell you, I think he's a good guy. I thought he did a fantastic job at University Circle. But, I mean, the whole...
He just doesn't have MapQuest.
Go fix the lakefront. Go fix it, man. You got a golden opportunity.
Hey, Sherrod Brown made his announcement yesterday. You going to put him up there?
Go fix it.
We need to make this a weekly thing with you. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, see if he updates his leader power
rankings. I'm too busy serving applesauce at the old folks' home at noon.
This is amazing.
I didn't sleep last night. The storms are so bad. God, I got to stay off social media.
Oh, my God.
I think you should take line five.
I think I hit mute like 15 times.
Oh, yeah. Line five.
Get in here, Deshaun. Line five. Go.
Deshaun and Cleveland, go.
Go.
Fellas, listen, man. The captains are chosen by the players that go. The captains are the guys.
Lake
who,
County.
Yes.
I'll just say like this. Myles Garrett and Joe Flacco are captains on the team. Why? Because players, they gravitate to them.
What if they speed?
Every year, there's a guy. All his five, six captains is bull. There's a guy on offense. There's a guy on defense. That's the leader.
Your leader on defense right now is a rookie who's wearing the green dot.
Well, that's the idiot coaches, and they put that on them.
Not you just said the player's name.
That's an unfortunate circumstance.
I don't know. Do I get overtime for being on this show?
That's a Keith question.
But listen, do we think Tonio is really a captain?
Do we think Keith is one of the leaders at the station?
I do.
He's not a leader. No one goes to him.
Who?
It's Joe Flacco. It still will be Shedeur Sanders, and it will always be Myles Garrett. So stop with the tickets. Everybody's speeding who has cars that cost $200,000.
Stop it with the tickets.
You know who thanks you? Let me tell you who's thanking you for all these cars that are going over 100 miles an hour. Life Bank, because you're keeping them in business.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Deshaun.
I'm being honest, man.
When did we become?
He ends every show with it. He does. So, I do. I mean,
when did we become 92.3 the ticket?
97.1 the ticket in Detroit. Yes. That's our sister station in Detroit. Odyssey Station.
Oh, you're Anthony Lima. I thought you were Matt Deary.
Guys, the show's over.
Bye-bye. Jose Ramirez, has 27 multi-homer games as a Cleveland Guardian. It is now a new franchise record. Good morning, Tone.
Hey, what's up, Ken?
How are you?
Good.
This sounded very morning host of you.
But, yeah, and, absolutely.
Okay.
We're excited. Guardians win again. If they win this series, that'll be 9 of their last 10.
Outstanding.
What was the record? 22-8, best record in the American League. Is that since the All-Star
break? Over the last 30 games.
Oh, 22
of their last 30.
And still outside of the playoff picture today.
Yes.
But they're right there, half game out.
Good. You have a question for everybody?
Well, you tell me if it's premature to ask this question, because a lot of people who were very loud during the 10-game losing streak are very quiet today, because I think they don't know if this team is going to make the playoffs, not going to make the playoffs. So I think those people get loud again at the end of the season if we even lose a series, which when's that going to happen, the way this team's playing right now?
Probably not anytime soon. Atlanta's even worse than Miami is.
So I was bearing the brunt of a lot of that when we were getting big discussions about people are making it seem like there was nothing worthwhile here. Like the owner sucks, the GM sucks, the manager sucks. And by the way, at that time, it did all seem like it sucked.
I think the manager sucks.
Well, people were saying it
big
time. I
don't think the GM sucks.
The lineups, the GM. Boy, the GM stuff, I try to defend the organization. But I just think there became a malaise.
Definitely try to defend
the like
organization.
With kind of like we talk about our friends over in Pittsburgh, how they talk about Mike Tomlin and the malaise with the Steelers. Like, yeah, they're good every year. Great. What's that getting them, right?
Yeah.
And I was starting to catch that drift from a lot of the fans that were going after the team because that was their opportunity. 10-game losing streak. That really had a chance. If you had all these things to get off your chest about the Dolans or the organization, like that was the perfect time.
Mm-hmm.
that now seems like a long time ago because they've obviously gotten their act together and now they've injected some excitement. They brought up finally Kafis and Manzardo's playing a lot more.
Do we have a Kafis corner today?
We
can always have one.
We can do a Kafis corner. You can just do Carlos Santana and what he did. If you really want to. You want to do that? You want to do that, Mitch?
We can do that.
You can do Nolan Jones. I mean, Nolan Jones was in the outfield. You can do Nolan Jones.
I don't think we need a Nolan Jones corner.
I'd rather have Nolan Jones in the corner than Carlos Santana.
The Kafis corner should just focus on Kafis.
Okay, well, tell us what he did last night then.
We have a 1-for-2 performance. O-for-1 performance. I was looking at Arias for a second there.
Ah.
No, this is about Kafis. We're doing a Kafis segment.
Yeah, 0-for-1.
0-for-1. Is it the Gabriel Arias corner?
It's Arias' aviary.
What about, never mind. Arias' aviary?
Yeah, it's a bird thing.
Okay, maybe he's into birds. Okay. Well, I'm glad you had a Kafis corner there, Mitch. Well done. Well said.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, what did you want to ask me then?
See, again, Mitch, the Kafis thing, we made this perfectly clear. This was going to be a 24-7 thing. We had the right to call you.
24/7 belt.
We had the right to call you at any time. It might not even be on air. So you got to be ready to go at any point. I don't know there was a lot of evidence that you were ready to go 24/7 there.
I had the stats right in front of me.
You did? And then you read the wrong play. You had somebody else's stats right in front of you.
He was 2-for-3. Oh, I'm sorry. That was Mickey Mantle in 1960. I apologize for that one, guys.
So overall, I'm curious if, and this could be a chance for a lot of these people to get loud again that were crushing them. And look, we get all flip. I thought they were done. I thought their season was over. So I'll fully admit it. I don't know how willing others are to admit it, that this team is playing some of the best baseball, certainly their best baseball of the year.
Uh-huh.
And some of this, one of the better stretches. It's not Milwaukee. I mean, Milwaukee has been in, what are they, 30 games above 500?
Yeah, their best team, best record in baseball.
The best team. I think they're on pace for like 104 wins.
So?
Who would get the credit if you were bashing everything during the 10-game losing streak? There was like no worthwhile qualities within the organization ever.
Who would get the credit for what?
Who gets the credit if this team turns it around and makes the postseason?
Well, see, I thought you were saying who gets the credit now. At first.
Well, I don't know how much credit they deserve today or how much they've earned today. Yeah. They're still not in the playoffs.
Yeah, they're still 5.5 back
but
in the Central.
They have dug themselves out of the hole.
They certainly have.
They had put themselves in a hole, and now they dug themselves out of that hole.
There's a huge difference between that losing streak and even before the losing streak and what they've done the last 30 games, and that's the hitting.
Yes.
They are scoring runs now. They were not scoring.
Yeah, they were. Or they are. They were not.
Who I mean, 22-8, does that undo the 10-game losing streak? Like, are we done talking about the 10-game losing streak? Because it seems to come up still.
No. I don't think it gets brought up. When does it get brought up?
Well,
anybody use the 10-game losing streak around you to go against 22-8 over the last 30? I don't. Do you have friends? Do you have buddies who text you and say, well, they lost 10 games in a row?
Well, it was a defining feature of their season.
It was a bad thing, but when you're 22-8.
Part of it was the Guardians have been so successful.
That's the earmark on the season to where you go back and go, okay, this is where the rebirth happened, right?
But there's nobody in, like, Owen, is there anybody in your life if you go, oh, the Guardians won again, and they go, well, they lost 10 in a row last month? Like, no. And that was like over a month ago now. So if they lost 10 in a row over a month ago, I think it's about right there.
Yeah,
so
it was like 4th of July weekend was that Detroit series.
I mean, what
series.
The hell?
Is that because, so does that mean that everybody had to swallow what they were saying during the 10-game losing streak? Because now, if you're saying that they've made up for it or whatever, so that's now a footnote, and we can all admit we were overreacting. I admitted it. I buried him.
I mean, Steve Avogt was bad during that 10-game losing streak.
He was bad.
He made some bad decisions. And some of that's because the roster that he had to deal with.
I think all of it had to do with the roster.
Well, you put it
was. It was all roster, but it was a lot of it on Steven Vogt. Some of it on the front office not moving Kafis up, right? Not moving DeLotter up, which who knows? Does DeLotter come up and not get injured, and he's still playing?
I can't go there with that one.
He looks like he's going to get injured. He looks like he would get injured walking into a Whole Foods.
I've seen people make that point.
Get that injured walking into an Aldi. What if he has a problem with the quarter?
Well, I get stuck sometimes.
I don't think anybody could say that. That seems like a cheap shot. Like, hey, had they have called him up, he'd have been healthy. Like, right. What? That seems ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. I think it puts people in an impossible situation because and people do this. They act like they don't, but they do. They want to win an argument, so they like secretly root against the team because they want to be right. They overall want to be right. And I think in so many ways, I don't think you need to root against them. I think you'll ultimately end up being right. If they don't make it back to the ALCS, you still hold them to a high standard. What didn't you do to get yourself back to the ALCS, to get yourself to a World Series? Like, that's the question that should be asked at the end of the year. If they don't get back to the ALCS, then I still think that all the things that people were frustrated about, it's a nice season that they got to the postseason, all right? But if it's below the ALCS and it's like, what did you do to augment? Now, I think there's a very thick line, not a fine one, a very thick line between ownership and the front office. Because if I gave $250 million to the front office, I think they'd use $250 million to go out there and get players. But they don't get that. They got what they had to work with, and that's what they had to work with.
If they had like a Dodgers-like TV deal,
they would spend
like the Dodgers.
Yeah, why wouldn't they? I don't think that Chris Antonetti, and I think it is part of their job, but if you go, hey, you have $250 million to spend, they're gonna spend close to $250 million. Like, being able to save money, it's just part there where that's part of their job. I think it's part of basically every general manager's job in so many words, even the big market teams. Nobody wants to overpay. They pay the value of what they think they're going to get. But I think if you gave the Guardians a big-time payroll, I think that obviously the front office go there. That's why it's like, man, you guys, you really got to draw a line. If I say that, hey, this trade didn't work out, all right, that's against Antonetti and Chernoff. But if I go, hey, you only have this much to spend as opposed to that much to spend of what you had years ago or whatever it is, well, then that's on the owner. And that's a conversation. I have to do that because I know it's coming. If they go to the ALDS and they lose in the ALDS, they didn't get the ALCS. Okay, well, that's still a step back from last year. Okay, why did we have that step back from last year? And there's a million different reasons why you could bring it up. You know, Lane Thomas being injured, the plantar fasciitis.
Yeah, David Fry, Lane Thomas thing,
that stuff.
They were counting on those guys.
There's difficulty there. So
the Josh Naylor trade now looks like it's been a good one now,
yes,
right? You
yes,
make the it argument
does.
It's a good trade.
Yes. But I think for everybody else on this team, it's like, all right, you know what? I am fine. And I don't think it needs to be, you guys are terrible, and this is why this thing's gone to hell. This is what makes baseball a hard one to pinpoint. Like, there's so many things in football and basketball you could pinpoint and go, you made a terrible mistake here, and now you're all paying for it, as we know. But here, what am I going to say this season's a total wash if Carl Manzardo ends up with 30 home runs this year? Carl Manzardo, the non-everyday player, ends up with 30 home runs this year, hit another home run last night. If he ends up with, like, 30, which is, what, 44 games left to do, 9 to go, and that might be a little difficult.
He's going to have to play every day.
Yeah, if he ends up with 25 home runs this year as a non-everyday player, I go, you better have his ass out there every day in 2026. I'll yell that, but that's not a lost season if Kyle Manzardo ends up being a bopper for you. Because I think if he were an everyday player, and hey, I'm sure they would give the arguments going, he wasn't ready to be an everyday player. Okay, all right, fine. He's got a fine mustache. It says to me, everyday player. It reminds me of Don Mattingly. If Kyle Manzardo hits 25 home runs, all right, that's a nice season. If I find good starting pitching, if I've calmed down the guys in the bullpen, your ups and downs in the bullpen, I mean, it's a moving thing. It's not where the whole thing's gone to hell and we're just the Pirates out of nowhere.
Yeah, but you will have fallen short. The way people were talking about this team at that time, and I remember, and all I have to do is look at my mentions, and when you were calling me Anthony Dolan, people were talking about them as if they were the Browns. They were never the Browns. They've always been better than the Browns. They've always been an awesome example of a team that overachieves every year, while we had another team in town that underachieves every year. And I just would like to hear from those people that were going on their crusade about everything that was wrong. I'll just hear from them when they're eliminated, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
I'm just letting you know the
truth. That's a weird way to be a fan. That kind of seems like you're not a fan. But if you're just trying to accomplish, hey, I want to pat myself on the back for finally being right about an argument 15 years later, then you're probably not a fan.
I'm just letting you know the truth of that.
I think there's a lot of fans, Anthony. There's not a lot of fans. I think there's a lot of observers. There's not a lot of fans, yeah. Right?
I do
it's
wonder.
It's the same people that I got really mad at you during the Class A thing for bringing up that those people didn't care about it. And it looks like it was a big deal now that we're further away from it, right? But the players responded accordingly.
Galvanized
to it,
them.
Right?
Could that be the defining feature of our season?
I think the earmark is that you look back on the schedule is the 10-game losing streak. But Class A and all that is the point where that's the turning point if we're doing the, you know, the Edge NFL shave gel of it. Mm-hmm. That's the turning mm-hmm. point right there where everybody gets together and really steps it up as an organization.
Yeah, think about how crazy it would be if they were having one of those champagne celebrations and they were heading back to the ALCS.
I'd have caviar dreams.
I would not be shocked if somebody in that clubhouse says, you know what? That was a
Austin
trying time
Hedges
for us.
Is going to bring it up whenever they make the playoffs and they spray each other.
Oh my
with
God!
Shams.
I wouldn't be surprised.
He actually is. He really
and
is.
Who know, by the way,
oh man, he's going to be calling out the haters and the losers knows? Like crazy.
Like when the front office caught wind of it, who knows? Some of these guys might have. Maybe the rumor mill might have been circulating way back when. Maybe that was part of the reason they were playing so poorly. Who
but
knows?
It is a good thing where I can't pinpoint exactly who gets credit if they do make the postseason. Who can you pinpoint? Ultimate team game in so many ways.
Yeah.
I know I say that about football, but I mean, good God, you got to do one thing at
a
time individually to make all the sum of the parts work.
The fact that you've had, this is where people should get excited. The fact that you've had Quan mired in a slump, really, since his name was brought up for potential trade.
Had a good play defensively last
year. Yes, he did. That was a huge, huge play, big game saving play on that relay. Just telling you, like, Quan has struggled, Ramirez has struggled. Came out of it last night. And yet, if they win this series, that'll be 9 of 10. So that should make you feel really, really good.
I feel like every playoff run that they've made for the last decade, there are stretches like this where the guys that should be leading the team mm-hmm. are going through something. And you go, did you see this kid? This kid that we didn't even know of 6 months ago is now pulling them out. And it's happening again, right? We're setting in it right now.
The $230 million elephant in the room coming up at 8:22. Which that elephant was stampeding on video earlier this week. Highest paid player in Browns history. Nobody wants to see him. Nobody wants to talk about him. Outstanding. First, let's do something nice. Remember 2016? Remember when the Cavs won the championship?
I think I recall where I was.
Remember when Kyrie Irving hit the shot of a lifetime?
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie was on his Twitch, and he was watching old highlights. This is from Kyrie Irving's Twitch, and he's got tone. Forget the 3 a.m. sushi comment you made years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, Kyrie Irving has nice things to say about the city of Cleveland.
You know, for me, I've grown up in this industry or grown up in this culture as a winner. I've won a lot of games. I've lost a lot of games. You know what I mean? I've been to the finals. I've won in the finals. I've lost in the finals multiple times. So for me, I'm happy with being able to get a chance to play with good teams. But when you guys make it about one player, it is kind of just weird. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not just one player that you have to promote. Like, we had solid players on our team. And I probably took that for granted more often. Like, when we were really good, I was like, we're actually pretty good. We got a lot of veterans. We got a lot of people that commit to it. But when you're playing with somebody like Bron or somebody that you guys like to compare him to, it's a different animal. It's a different journey. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're automatically expected to be at the top of the charts, the top of the league. You know, every time you play with Bron, it's going to be a lot of media attention. It's going to be a lot of back and forth of narratives. It's going to be about a spun narratives. It's going to be a lot of politics. It's going to be a lot that a lot of people don't see in front of the camera. And for me, I was just a young person trying to figure it out. You know what I mean? It's not that I dislike playing with Bron at any time. It was just literally, it was my time to move on. And that's what people got to accept. They want a deeper, detailed dive in terms of what happened. It's like, it was my time to move on.
What did you think of what you just heard from Kyrie?
He says a lot of words a lot of times. I never know. I stopped trying to decode those words years ago because I was always trying to give him the benefit of the doubt just because simply I loved watching him play basketball so much. And he was just unlike any player I'd ever seen. And then he hits a shot like that against the team that was supposed to be unbeatable. Mm-hmm. And so I did everything I could. I bent over backwards to try to figure him out.
The deeper meaning?
I just never could. He seemed to be lost at all times. Does seem like in Dallas, for whatever it is, I don't know if it's him being a parent now or what, but it seems like in Dallas, he's the most normal he's ever been.
He's also gotten older.
Yeah.
I mean, that was 20. When did he leave? 2017?
He's 33.
I mean, you're talking about 8 years ago, for crying out loud. He's obviously, people change. It does make me... I appreciate the championship. I love the championship. But it does make me appreciate Jose Ramirez more. I just... Man, because you go back to that time. I love the championship. From a radio standpoint, content was great. But it was a time that could be tumultuous here and there. Not just with games, not just with trying to be Golden State. I mean, there were tumultuous times, and the end was certainly acrimonious, it seemed. But, man, it does make me appreciate, because it's like, okay, I want the Guardians to do as well as they possibly can. I would like them to win a championship. I get frustrated by the feeling of like, hey, you know, that's baseball so many times. Like, no, you're not going to have a guy like this stay like this in this current climate of Major League Baseball. We got to do everything we can to try to make this work with this guy. But at the same time, I'm going, man, I don't have to deal with any of this stuff with Jose Ramirez. The guy's a Hall of Famer. Guy hit a go-ahead home run two nights ago. I know last night didn't go very well with the Guardians and Gavin Williams. I don't think he came back down to earth. I think he just had an emotional roller coaster that happened from the near no-hitter.
Is this a result of going too many innings and too many pitches? Of course, I'm joking.
You want to call up Jonathan? Is he awake?
I would have supported him going 15 innings.
You want to?
Whatever would have taken.
He only pitched 75 yesterday. Yeah. Do you want to call up Jonathan, though?
Well, I think you knew in the first inning that it probably wasn't going his way.
Have that whole fight?
No, thanks.
Just asking.
So, you know, with Kyrie, I would love to know so much more about the relationship between him and LeBron because really haven't seen any specifics. Outside of, you know, moody LeBron, moody Kyrie, whether or not Kyrie was ever going to be receptive to LeBron-style leadership. Because think about all that we know. There's been a book written about the Kobe-Shaq relationship. And that was a team that had won three titles and disintegrated because the two of them could not coexist. Kobe did not respect Shaq's work ethic. And Shaq didn't respect the immaturity of Kobe. And really, they were both immature. Yet we know so much. We know so much. And in fact, after the fact, while Kobe was still living, the regrets that he had, Shaq, not necessarily the regrets that he had, but at least Shaq has been able to look in the mirror and talk about his shortcomings. I feel like we've not gotten any of that with Kyrie and with LeBron. All we've gotten after the fact is LeBron giving him love on social media for outstanding performances, or when, you know, Kyrie went to the finals a few years ago, or after the fact, Kyrie talking about his journey, but how he was immature. But we don't get specifics as to why that relationship derailed, because I will always wonder what that would have been like had Kyrie not felt the need to ask for the trade and to say, I don't want to be here anymore. And next thing you know, was he in Japan?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, when we found out the trade request that went public.
Yeah.
Like one of the most bizarre.
I remember exactly where I was when it went public. I was on Lake Chautauqua.
I was on a golf course.
Fishing.
Yeah.
Where I was. The time has passed. I would like to know more. I also think that he just lets you in on it. He's like, man, there's a lot of good players. I think he's saying what I think a lot of people have said, myself has said about playing with LeBron. Nobody plays with LeBron except for Dwayne Wade in his entire 22-year history. You play for LeBron. And I think a lot of guys are really, really, really good basketball players. I mean, Kyrie Irving's a Hall of Famer, for crying out loud. He's got an ego just like every other big-time basketball player would have. Like, there's only so many guys that really understand their role, that really, really get it. Channing Frye understood. Richard Jefferson understood. Good dudes who understand what their role is and how great they are, but they also know the greatness that plays around them. How good they are in the NBA, but the greatness that plays around them. Kyrie Irving, I mean, you're young at that time. You're a number one overall pick. You were seen as the franchise. And then LeBron comes back. It's his team. It's LeBron's franchise. It's LeBron's area. And that's all common sense because it's LeBron.
Yeah.
It's all common sense. But doesn't mean that Kyrie's going to have an easy time accepting something
and
like that.
And also at that stage of his life, what was common sense to Kyrie?
Exactly. I don't know what's common sense to Kyrie Irving right now.
Think about his worldview. Think about what he thinks about. It's tough. It's tough. Feels like you're in college always talking to somebody who's high. Like, I don't know where you're coming from. I don't understand any of this conversation. I don't get any of that. That's what it always reminded me of when he would do his
reckless speculation.
His word salad. None of it would ever make sense to me. And it was like talking to my buddies in the hallways in college my freshman year. Like, where are you coming from and why am I not on your level?
I don't necessarily want to go that far with it, but yeah, I can see where you're coming from. I've understood Kyrie very little, and to the point where I stopped trying to. I mean, good God, when he was with the Nets and all that stuff, I just didn't care.
Yeah, remember they famously, him and Kevin Durant, Kevin Durant should know better, but him and Kevin Durant saying, we don't need a coach.
Yeah.
We don't really need a coach. We just need somebody to have a whistle to organize practice.
It got to the point.
We're fine. We'll roll the balls out.
It got to the point where I don't really care about it. But if you're looking at how great the Cavs are, like I do, I can't help it. 2016, okay, that was almost 10 years ago. We're coming up on the 10-year anniversary now. So you start to think about anniversaries, bringing people back, having nights for people. And my whole thought was, man, can we bring this thing back where he can at least walk out there on the floor someday and the 15 or 20 year reunion and wave to the crowd and get the whole pomp and circumstance there? Because you don't want to have any terrible feelings later on, because we've seen the awkwardness between franchises and former players, former stars, guys who were Hall of Famers for him, guys who did things. It's very awkward, and it really makes the fans have arguments that they don't want to have. They just want to enjoy their favorite basketball players, football, baseball players, what have you. And so to hear Kyrie years later, I think that he's saying what a lot of us have said, that I can imagine that if you're a great player, if you are a future Hall of Famer, it's very taxing to play with LeBron because you see this as a team, but the rest of us, me, just watching, analyzing, whatever it is, you're playing for LeBron. And if I were him, I wouldn't want to accept that. At that age, I wouldn't want to accept that. It's easy for me as an outsider to say this is the way it is, but I think it would be very difficult. So I can get where he's coming from, but I do look at it in both sides. Great player who left. Kevin Love, great player, got his way, got out of here. A lot of guys, they're here for a moment, they leave. Jose's here. And watching him the other night, it just sticks in about how legendary he is. I don't mean to take every single player and take it to Jose because, hey, you know what? Myles Garrett looks like he's going to play to his last days in the NFL with the Cleveland Browns because that's basically an untradeable contract. Okay, what type of legacy will there be for Myles? Certainly different from Jose.
Yeah,
certainly different.
I love this conversation, especially after like Jose hit the two home runs the other night. And every time Jose has a moment, it's almost like a reflection. Everybody has to step back and say, what does this mean for his legacy? Because we're getting to that point, because we don't know, is Jose ever going to win a World Series? It's really tough. Winning World Series are really hard. So obviously, as a Guardians fan, you're wondering if he's ever going to be in a position to do that after he took the pay cut he did. Mm-hmm. And so it has us. It always gives him a unique feather in the cap that almost no athletes, not just in Cleveland. How many athletes in sports these days can spend over a decade with one team? And it looks like Jose will probably, you know, spend the rest of his days in a Guardians uniform. And think about how unique that is, how cool that is. We just don't get a lot of examples. First of all, in the NFL, so few guys even get to 10 years. But to get to 10 years with one team, that means you've been through there through multiple rebuilds. In the NBA, guys, the superstars are having such long careers, but what did we know about superstars in the league? They never stayed in one place, with the exception of who? Kobe Bryant, Dirk, Paul, no, not Paul Pierce. He ended up going elsewhere. Like, so few guys actually get to do it. So it gives Jose an all-time bragging rights. It still doesn't mean he's ever a better Cleveland athlete than LeBron. Well, there's nobody that can ever replace that for me.
But you look at how
isn't there a difference between Cleveland athlete and athlete in Cleveland?
Yes.
Because I think...
Yes.
Cleveland athlete is a representation of the city, an ambassador for the city. It not necessarily just played his career in the city, right? I think athlete in Cleveland, obviously LeBron's the greatest one to ever, you know, lace it up and play with Cleveland on his uniform. But
you'd say most endearing to the Cleveland fans.
Yeah.
Because
an embodiment of what you want him to represent.
Yeah, there's the no city. Emotional complexity to it. It's Jose, amazing. Home team discount, never caused issues. Always, great. Always made you prideful.
Hasn't come out in these bad seasons and went, trade me. I know I have no trade. Wave it and trade me.
I think there's
I get that. I totally get that.
There's so many, very few guys that if you tore back some of the, any facade or anything, they are just 100% beloved by their fan base. Jose is that guy. There's always going to be idiots on the internet, but Jose is that guy. How many guys can you really think of off the top of your head? Like Jim Kelly, I get weird messages from Bills fans. And whenever I did the CBS show about Jim Kelly, and like that, I'm like, dude, Jim Kelly. It's like, nah, Ken, you don't know how this all started. And there's people still. It's like, what? What? Terry Bradshaw. Every now and then, Steelers fans get mad at him.
Well, even, Jose's never given us the reason to do that. Think about what TJ Watt and Cam Hayward have just done, what Miles did with us. Obviously, we've gone over with LeBron. And it's so rare to have an athlete. That, and again, you know, Jose doesn't want to talk politics. Yeah. He doesn't want to talk about current events. He doesn't want to be, you know, famous by saying outlandish things on social media. So he's never given a reason for you. Now, I like the politics thing. Hey, if a player wants to speak his mind and thinks he can affect change, like, I think that's a really cool thing. Even if I disagree with that, we've always wondered which players would have the bravery to put their brand at risk to feel something about something that's going on in the public. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've had people at times over the years, I've had people tweet us like, why are you sitting idly by when this is happening in our government or in the state or the city? And I'm like, you know, that's just not at this stage of my life. That's not what I really want to do. So I'll never bag on anybody for if they want to speak their mind out. But I do think to Owen's point about endearing themselves to Clevelanders and just the no nonsense. I care about sports and that's what I want my athletes to do. Like Jose is going to be the guy that passes that test every time.
He's also the only one where I don't have to look at just business of it because there's so many guys. I know that like the Cam Hayward situation in Pittsburgh. I know you're talking Steelers. That situation, like he is reviled by some people right now this morning over there. Where he just signed his contract. It's like business is business. And I could say, hey, business is business. You are as good to us as your last play. And if you're no longer usable to us, goodbye. Because I know that you're going to want more money. Jose's different from all that. And there's just very few guys that I think any city, there's always one or two guys in every city, but you really can't think of them off the top of your head. And at a place like this where, guys play here and then we're waiting for them to ask for a trade. Guys play here for the Browns. We're waiting for them to ask for a trade. Same thing with the Cavs. I don't see that. When's the next guy you think about that with Jose? Other than Jose? Is there one? I don't see it. Cavs schedule's coming out. We already knew Christmas Day. Playing the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. But they will also open up their season against the Knicks at MSG on October 22nd, 7 p.m. in ESPN matchup. Lime is upset about that.
Yeah, I'm a little annoyed. I'll be honest. The reason being, like the Knicks, I'm excited about matchups with the Knicks because I've said I think the Cavs are going to win the most regular season games. Most have said that in the Eastern Conference. Anybody talking about this? But the difference is I'll probably have with most of the hosts in town is right now, and who knows what variation of these teams will even be around. But if they're healthy and they're the teams we expect them to be, I would probably pick the Knicks to beat the Cavs in a series. We've gone over that to death. The reason why until Donovan Mitchell can show he can get past Jalen Brunson and just the...
I don't know. Evan Mobley's looking solid lately.
In what?
In that picture.
Oh, was that him?
I was told that was Evan Mobley.
A bunch of people said fake.
That's fake?
I just read the comments. There's a bunch of people saying that's not
I've
him.
I've heard both.
And then people saying that's actually his face on Deshaun Watson's body.
What?
Go look at the comments. They're there. a bunch of people were like, that is not Evan Mobley or
his
build. The arms
did look a little bigger than what I would imagine Evan. But Evan Mobley did put on...
Yeah, how ripped do you need Evan to be? I mean, I watched Tim Duncan dominate the NBA for 15, 17 years, and he was...
That's just because his clothes were loose.
The opposite of ripped.
Yeah, this is because he was you know, the big jeans.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
I just, on that, real quick, somebody asked Grok if it's real or not. Grok said, no, the photo is not real. It's photoshopped.
God, I hate AI. You guys all want this AI stuff. Look what's happening.
I don't know how big I want Evan Mobley getting.
Not that big. He looks like Myles Garrett.
Yeah. Like the way that he plays.
That's going to be a great segment in the middle of January. Is Evan Mobley big enough or is he too big? 216-474-0092. You can
too
already
many
see
weights
it.
Or not enough weights. Okay, so for whatever reason, like the Knicks and Cavs are going to be a great matchup, and I just don't want to see them on opening night because it's going to be so far removed. That game will be totally meaningless, especially Darius is not going to be in that game, right? Because you're not rushing him back to play on opening night. From his injury. I mean, he just talked about having nine toes in the playoff run and how it would have been nice to have a 10th toe. So he got surgery. He's not going to be ready for that game. So that game means nothing towards the end of the year when we're going to be sizing up these teams. And I would argue probably Christmas Day is not going to mean all that much. That's still so early in the season. So that's two of the matchups against the Knicks. I would rather have them, you know, slated later in the year. Now, I guess you could also argue, well, yeah, but they probably won't be healthy when they play. This is your best chance earlier in the year to get these teams as healthy as they can be. Okay, I understand that, too. It's just I won't factor them in. I'm not going to factor in a late October meeting
between these two teams. The NBA told me to not care about health anymore, but, right? And if there's guys healthy or if they're playing a marquee matchup or whatever, I just expect that at any moment, you know, Donovan Mitchell could miss a game because they need to rest him.
Well, that might be my issue with the other thing. I agree with what you're saying about the opener of the season. I think that's a great point. I want to take it a step further. I go to the October 27th game where they play at Detroit, and that's a Peacock exclusive game.
Ooh.
So the issue of this is you tell me that the regular season matters less and less to the general fan. And I think to a Cavs fan. Now, how many games did you win last year? 66 games did they win? I forgot the number already. They won over 60 games last year. You got bounced in the second round. I already got people saying, good luck getting me to care about the regular season. All right. 64 games. So they won 64 games. They get bounced in the second round. They could have won more, but they didn't. The same result was the same. So now the regular season really doesn't matter to anybody. So now you want the regular season to matter, but you put it on a streaming platform.
That's not going to be on NBC. It's going to be Peacock only.
It's Peacock exclusive is what it says here. So if you're going to put them Peacock exclusive, that means that somebody's going to have to pay for that. Well, if you don't care about the regular season of the NBA, you're not going to pay for it unless you already have Peacock. The other issue that I might have with it is that you have a dedicated audience that does watch those regular season games. There are hardcore NBA fans out there, hardcore NBA fans who are first listening to the show. Guys like Justin Rowan. Now, he's a podcaster, but there are people who listen to his podcast, and they are NBA first fans. So you turn around and just make them pay for it? So we're either going to make people go find it, which is already tough enough, as we've seen with the Guardians, and you've had several weekends now, or at least a couple weekends now, where Tubi, Roku, Apple TV, Sony, all these other places, and it's hard to find them. And then I get to the NBA and I'm going to go, okay, you either make them find them, which they really don't want to look in the first place, or the people who do want to look, now you're going to make them pay extra.
Well, I don't have a problem with them make them pay because you're going to pay. No, basketball's on cable. So even if you're watching, even if you knew you were going to the former regional network, right, and you knew it was there, you're still paying the cable that. You're right, though, having to go find another and an app thing, an app and then an ESPN, and then they're going to have, you know, I'm not sure what network they'll be on the regular season this year, but they'll have their regular games against Detroit in the regular season that'll just be played there. There is no TNT anymore, right? So that's where the NBC is taking over. But it's tough to follow exactly where they're at every night, and I can't just go to one centralized location and watch them like I can with the Guardians right now. Say what you want about how the TV contract screwed the payroll. At least I know for the majority of their season, I can go to that app that I have paid for and I can watch the games there and I don't have to worry about flipping around to find it.
But the biggest thing is Rob Manfred himself has said we're on too many different things that people have to go find. We have to start to centralize it and bottleneck it. When it comes to the NBA, wasn't it where what? They have seven different services that you could be looking at? And the NFL is a different entity. You could always say the NFL. People will always go find the NFL. People will always go find football. That's why, like, when guys were upset last week about Big Noon Kickoff and I pissed everybody off, I go, guys, we're on their schedule. They can play it at any time they want. They've decided that their revenue is going to come from Big Noon, and you're going to go watch it no matter what. You're not going to have some protest.
Now,
you're not
going to
not watch Ohio State, and it's the same thing with the NFL. The NFL can have their games anytime they want. People will go watch it. But the other two sports, yeah, you kind of got to make it a little bit convenient for everybody.
Now, the NFL has, the last 2 years, done a streaming-only wild card game, and the ratings are massive for streaming, much less than the others. So there were people that weren't willing to jump through those hoops. Bars had huge problems. I mean, bars, they, you know, unless they're in that home market, they're not thinking all week, hey, we got to have the wild card football game on, even though the moment that game starts, everybody in the bar is like, hey, where's the NFL football game? Hold on, let me figure it out. Does anybody have a password? Got to get it on the smart TV. Like that is an inconvenience even for the NFL. But as you saw, the numbers still show that, yes, people did eventually jump through the hoops to watch those games.
Coming up at 9:01, trust your eyes before you overreact. And at 9:21, can I answer that Drew Aller question? Do you even remember the Drew Aller question?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org/advisors.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.